Hi, everybody. It's June 8th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education. That's all over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Okay, where we archive all our podcasts. Our magazine is over there, our online journal, award-winning journal. We love it. It's called Equity and Access. It's the only magazine focusing on equity and access pre-K-12. You'll love it if you go over there. Everything we do over there is free. Join with us. Tell us you want to write something. We'd love to hear your voice. Put it up on the web or over on the magazine. So please check out everything we do. Again, all free to educators over at ace-ed.org. And you'll love this issue of the magazine, which has a big cover story on female leadership in the education industry. We highlighted a lot of great ladies in there. And I'm telling you, you'll love this issue. So please go over, check it out. That's just one part of a 95-page issue. Got to thank my friends at Curriculum Associates. They name educators to be extraordinary educators. Okay, they have a 2021 class of these fine folks, and we were lucky enough to have two of them with us today. So I thank Curriculum Associates, and I also thank my friend Russ Romano. I got crackling noise in the back. Let's see who that is. Okay, Paul, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Paul, is that you? I hear a rushing noise in the back. Do you hear it?
I hear it too. I don't think it's me.
Okay, then let's blame Joe. Joe, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Joe Flick. Wait, no way. Oh, that stopped. There you go. I wonder what that was. Right? Can you believe that? Well, how about that?
I don't hear it anymore.
Okay, so Joe, you want to blame Paul?
Sure, why not? He blames me.
Good. Excellent. Paul, you want to blame Joe?
I'll blame Joe, yeah.
Go dance. That's the spirit.
Easy.
Both of you
have
to stay after school. You're not tricking me. Both of you are staying after school today. Okay, let me introduce you guys properly here. Paul Tarasevich, okay, is in East Providence, Rhode Island. All right, he's an eighth grade English teacher down there. Congratulations. You're an extraordinary educator, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster of a year, but it's been fun. It's been fun.
Really? Really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay. And Joe is in, I'll pronounce it correctly, Bayshore, New York.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was great.
Many people, yes, it's a Bayshore. That's S-H-O-R-E, Bayshore, New York. New York, excuse me. And let me ask you something. I have to ask this question. It's very important today, Joe. You're a math specialist at Brook Avenue Elementary School. Are you a hockey fan?
I'm not a hockey fan. I do keep tabs on what's going on, but I'm not a hockey fan by trade.
Well, let me ask it a different way. Last night, the Islanders in the playoffs here in Boston beat the Bruins. Were you sad about that or happy?
I was definitely happy about that. Anytime
that's
New York
too bad
beats Boston,
because now I have to cut off your interview. I'm awfully sorry. Oh, what a tragedy! Right?
Yeah, right. I will be honest. I was a little surprised, but
me too.
Happily
me
surprised.
Too. Me too.
Yeah.
So, but at any rate, hey, the Islanders are looking good. Okay, I hope
but
we'll see what happens. Okay, and again, Joe's a math specialist at Brook Avenue Elementary. In this crazy year, and guys, congratulations to both of you. Curriculum Associates named you both to the 2021 class of extraordinary educators. I'm going to ask you a funny question, okay? And I'll ask Paul this. Paul, do you feel extraordinary? Seriously, okay? What's this year?
You
think back on the year. How do you put it into your own personal perspective?
This year took a lot of learning. This year took a lot of patience. This year took a lot of a shift in mindset in how I approach the content, the curriculum, and the delivery of my instruction. I have to give a shout out to everyone that I work with at Martin Middle School, from the admin to the other teachers to the support specialists. Really, we rallied around what we were given with this year and did the best that we could for our students.
Good for
it was a team effort, 100%. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you know, Good. Well said, my friend. And you did rally round. I got to tell you, all of you did. And again, Paul's at Edward Morton Middle School in East Providence, Rhode Island. Joe, do you feel extraordinary, Joe Flick?
You know, it's funny. I don't feel extraordinary, but what I will say is I feel very appreciated. This year has been a whirlwind. You know, I look around at some of my colleagues and I see them just doing some great things, and I don't feel very special. You know, I see, you know, some great things going on, and I'm sure you do, Paul, as well. And so I wouldn't say I feel extraordinary, but I do feel appreciated for sure. It's been a great honor, and, you know, that part of it has been outstanding.
You know, you are the first person whom I've asked a question like that to who said you feel appreciated, okay? And that is a wonderful thing to hear. I got to tell you that, okay? Because teacher professionals, educator professionals, I should say it that way, sometimes really struggle to be appreciated, especially in this day and age. And over the course of the last year and a half, I think hopefully people's attitudes have changed, all right? And they look at teachers hopefully a little bit differently, all right, than they did before. Because really, and I know I can speak for both of you probably, neither of you were trained to be in the situation that you were in for the last 15 months, all right? You were trained differently, okay? And everybody just stepped up, and it's just they rallied around it. Joe, talk to me. What was the learning environment in East Providence, all right, this past year at Brook Avenue, which is an elementary school? Excuse me, I got it wrong. Excuse me, Joe. Yeah, not in East Providence, in Bayshore. Got the cities mixed up. Bayshore, New York, Joe. Okay, what was the school situation there?
Well, so if we take it all the way back to the beginning, you know, the school situation in March was shut down, you know, and we were completely remote for the remainder of the year, which, as you just said, you know, I was never trained to be a remote teacher. Something all brand new and learning on the job. You know, we were taking some professional development classes online as the pandemic was going on, and you know, fast forward through the summer, and here we are ready to start September. And the year for us started as what we called a hybrid model, where students would come 2 days a week. There'd be two cohorts. So it was like a Monday, Thursday, Tuesday, Friday cohort. And then Wednesdays, everybody was remote. So it was kind of like a blend. And then right around November, we had a full day, was back in session.
Yeah.
You know, and we still had a cohort of students who decided to remain on remote.
Yeah.
But the students who were coming to campus, those students were coming 5 days a week. And, you know, there was no remote option for those students. So that was a sense of normalcy.
Yeah, but how did you handle the balance between teaching some kids remote, and I assume it was synchronous, i.e. the same time of day? And so maybe explain that. Yeah, kids in person.
Yeah, so we are very fortunate where we are. I never had to teach students who were home and students in school at the same time. So in the beginning of the year when the students were in two cohorts, I would record my lessons and push it out on a Google Classroom. So the students who were at home, they could view that at any time during the day that they wanted to. Also had a couple teachers in our building who were teaching all live remote classes. So luckily I personally didn't have to do that. I was recording everything and pushing it out on Google Classroom, which was nice. You know, it gave the little kids some more flexibility, because you have to understand, I have 7 and 8 year olds and they really need mom and dad around to help them out, you know. So to not keep them on a schedule, you have to be signed on at 10 o'clock for this lesson, it really helped the parents a lot.
Yeah. And did you call that thing when you did on demand teaching, do you call it Netflix on demand?
That's a good one. I wish I could coin that one. That's a good one.
Let us turn back a time. And
not too late.
God forbid we get another pandemic. Remember that for the next pandemic. Okay?
Netflix, you know,
on demand. Okay.
That's a good one.
It's incredible. Paul, what about you? What was the situation in now East Providence? Yeah, and again, middle school is tough to teach anyway. Yeah.
Whenever I say to someone, I teach middle school, they're always like, oh, you poor thing. But I love it, though. It's fun. I love teaching middle school.
I taught middle school for 8 years. I taught what was then junior high school, same thing, eighth grade. Yeah.
And it's funny because, Joe, I'm in the complete opposite situation that you're in. So between March and June of last year, we were all asynchronous. And I'm lucky and fortunate enough to work with another English teacher on the other eighth grade team, where we really get along and we really collaborate really well. So, we were able to design and create lessons last spring that we were able to kind of engage the students and get them back into learning, even though they were away. And then moving into the fall and still up until now. The grades, Martin is a 6th, 7th, and 8th grade school, and 6th grade is in 4 days a week, and then 7th and 8th grade split Monday, Tuesday, every other Wednesday, Thursday,
wow.
and Friday. So my
oh,
kids,
wow.
Some, yeah, wow, yeah. So 8th
wow.
grade will be distance learning Monday and Tuesday. Everyone's at home. Every other Wednesday, either 7th grade or 8th grade comes in, and then half of my team is at home Thursday and Friday while the other kids come into school Thursday and Friday. So every other Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I had kids in front of me in person and then in at home trying to engage them on the computer. And
wow.
that was the
wow.
feedback that we got from
wow.
It was and again it was at different points of the year we had to step back and kind of change our mindset too and say, all right, you know this really isn't working, what is going to work? And after every quarter it was kind of like, all right, let's sit down, debrief, and what's going to work moving forward, what's not going to work moving forward. And back in December, we had parent-teacher conferences, and the biggest takeaway from that was the distance learners, they're kind of logging into these Google Meets and then watching from fishbowl almost, that those every
yeah.
other Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. So it's how do you reach those kids while also trying to help out and provide instruction for the kids in front of you too? So again, I'm lucky and fortunate enough to work with a good team where we were able to come up with
yeah.
strategies to do both. But it was tough at first, and then we were able to hit our stride come December, January, and February. I would say we've been letting kids come back throughout the year. So I would say a good 70-75% of my team is now in person on those Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. But it was a big learning curve at first.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that number 70% pops up no matter who I talk to around the country. It's always 70% are back. Seriously, no matter where I talk, 70% are back and 30% chose to are staying remote. On that note, and by the way, that schedule you just named, I'm still trying to figure it out. Okay, that's amazing.
That
you got
to,
you know, I don't know how you did it.
We have 14 days left.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable.
It's like, all right, what Wednesday is it? Are they in school? Are they at home? What's going on? Like what?
Yeah, you know, it's a funny story. I had Osceola County, Florida, which is right next to Orlando. Okay, on and a wonderful science coordinator there from there last week, and I said, because down south they end early, you go back early, so. It was just before Memorial Day, and I said to her, I said, when is school done? And she said, not that I'm counting, but 38 hours, 22 minutes, and 18 seconds. Make that 17. Okay? And, you know, I just burst out laughing. I remember those days all so well, but I'll tell you, it's been such a tough year. Okay?
Yeah,
and everybody needs a break. It's just amazing. And on that note, I only say this in a humorous vein, with the craziness of that schedule, again, the necessary evil, if I may, so to speak, breaks everything up. Okay, and Paul, Joe, I'm going to ask you the same thing, but Paul, everybody's talking now, quote, about learning loss, about unfinished learning, okay? I'm not so sure it is learning loss. I think it's curriculum loss, not learning loss, okay? And I mean, I like the term unfinished learning a little bit better. But as you look at that schedule, look at your kids, think about next year, okay? This is to Paul. Joe, let him answer, and then I'm going to ask you the same thing so you have time to think about this one, okay? But Paul, let's stay with you. Talk about learning loss, unfinished learning. What's your feeling on all that? How'd the kids do? That's what I'm basically asking.
So for the first month, even the first quarter, I plan to get to know my students, and it's not until I'm not saying that I don't focus on the standards, don't focus on the curriculum or the content, but that first 3-4 weeks are important in terms of building your relationships with your students.
Sure.
I play like team building games. I say, all right, this is what you need to do when you come in. This is not what you need to do when you come in. And I'll do stations so when I do eventually do stations to focus on standard and content, they can figure out the rhythm of it and all. I think our plan of attack going into the fall is still going to be that, and that base, that foundation that you build with your students those first couple of weeks are important, because you get to know your students as a person, but you also get to know your students as a learner, because we'll be doing baseline data in terms of writing. We'll be doing baseline data in terms of reading, and even just observations when we do team building games, and saying, all right, who's going to step up and be a leader in my classroom? Who's going to be that quiet student? Who's going to be a student I can rely on? So in terms of learning loss, I'm going to anticipate that we're going to work pretty closely with the seventh grade teachers in terms of, okay, what did you cover? What did you not cover? What are the students' strengths? What are the students' weaknesses? How they do distance learning and everything. So I anticipate that first quarter is going to go slow, and I'm going to attack it. We're going to attack it the same way that we did with this whole year, in terms of take it slow before you go fast, unless is more. Getting to know our students first.
Yeah, and you said something that's key, and Joe, you can comment on this.
Every student is different, too. Yeah,
they are. Okay, but you said something, Paul, that was interesting to me. Everything you said was interesting, but this stood out to me. That you're going to talk along to the seventh grade teachers. Again, you're an eighth grade teacher. Joe, I'm going to talk to you about this, too. Hopefully, there's going to be a lot more collaboration. I'm sure there was before. But hopefully there'll be a lot more collaboration, A, between grades, and B, between schools, because your sixth graders, in the case of East Providence at the Morton, are coming up from a different school, and you may not even know those teachers. So, hopefully this will bring it all about. Go ahead, Paul, finish up.
East Providence just built a brand new high school as well. So have been eighth graders who haven't been in school for a year and a half who are going off to a brand new high school, brand new high school and haven't been in school for a year and a half. So it's also, reaching out to those kids right now, saying, all right, are you all set? Do you need anything from me for the end of the year? What do you need from me right now? Is what I'm trying to get out of those distance kids.
What a bummer. Spent $250 million on a new high school. The kids can't even go. What a bummer. That is a bummer. Okay. Joe, your thoughts on your kids this year.
They're opening it up in the fall.
Yeah, I hope so. What's the name of the new school, by the way, the high school?
East Providence High School. East Providence High School.
How'd you ever come up with a name like that? I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. It's in East Providence. Okay. Joe, your thoughts on your kids. How they do so this year, learning loss, actually, all that sort of stuff. Math teacher extraordinaire. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know it. That's me. So for me, there's two sides to this coin, you know, because my role is pretty, I'll call it extraordinary, right? So most of my day, I'm working with students who need intervention, students coming from first grade and second grade who are struggling with math. But I do have one section during my day, which is every day, that I push into a second grade class, and I am their primary math instructor. So I'll start with my remediation students, the students needing the intervention. You know, I've just met them where they are, you know, and I've tried to fill in the gaps that, quite honestly, are typically there for a first grader every year, or for a second grader for that matter. So I haven't really had to necessarily look at it as learning loss, or I actually liked the phrase that you used. Now I'm forgetting it, but you didn't like
unfinished learning.
Unfinished learning. Yeah, I like that. You know, my students always have unfinished learning because of the intervention that they need. But I'll tell you what, with my classroom that I push in, where, you know, they're an on grade level, math class, I have not done really anything different than I would have any other year. I've always set the bar high with the kids, and I just taught them, you know, the curriculum that I would need to teach them and want to teach them throughout the school year. And if I felt at any moment, you know, there was something they weren't understanding because, well, in first grade they were home for half the year, then I would address it in the moment. But I've just continued to move these kids forward almost as if nothing happened, as if nothing was different. And I'll tell you, that's the beauty. Maybe, Paul, you could say it's different in middle school, but I think it's the beauty of elementary school. These kids adapt. They really adapt so quickly. And if you set that bar, they will meet it and exceed it more than you ever could expect. So, you know, that's always been my memo to myself this year is don't let me limit the students. You know, let me push them as far as they're willing to go.
You know, I got to say something on that. Joe, there's a term for that, and the term is called rigor, all right?
Yes.
And I have good friends who are at Johns Hopkins, and their research proves time and time and time again that the more rigorous you are with your students, okay, the more they will rise to the occasion, all right? And the more rigorous we can be, the better. And I hope that every teacher realized, again, there were challenges this year, but if you approach it with that attitude, you're going to be amazed at the results you get. And you just summed that up in a nutshell, I got to tell you, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff. And while I've got you, talk about how you worked in collaboration with other teachers, other educators, all right, at school this past year, which is key stuff. Joe.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, Curriculum Associates has been great by offering a lot of networking for us, you know, with teachers around the country, and just to get ideas of what's working in your hybrid model, what's working in your remote model, what's working in your in-person model. So that part has been great. And then just within my own building, I mean, teachers have been so willing to collaborate, especially when it was remote learning, you know, where some teachers might focus on doing some lessons and other teachers will focus on doing other lessons and really just try to help each other out as much as possible. It's just been, I really have seen the learning community come together more than ever before.
I like the way you said the learning community as opposed to the teaching community, because I'm going to tell you, it's not about the teaching, it's about the learning. You're a learning facilitator.
No,
if those kids don't learn, you're not doing your job. And then I'm going to ask you this. Was collaboration, Joe, I'm putting this to you, then I'm going to ask Paul, was collaboration stronger, obviously, I hope, this past year than ever before? And if so, do you think that's going to carry over, okay, into next year?
Well, that's a good one. So the answer to
Thank
the
you.
First part is yes, no doubt about it. It was stronger than ever before. Will it continue? Goodness, I hope so that it does.
Yep.
I really do hope so. so many good things have come from it. You know, the students have really benefited from all this collaboration. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, yes, I think it will continue. And boy, do I sure hope it continues. So I'm going to give my colleagues within my building and across the country the benefit of the doubt and say that, you know what, we've all grown so much that we are not willing to revert back to where we were.
One of the good things to come out of this lousy pandemic, I think, is what you just described. Paul, your thoughts on that, your fellow educators in the building, including administrators, and how that's going to process out for next year. Paul Tarasevich.
Oh, 100%. Collaboration was through the roof this year, and I'm lucky and fortunate enough to work with a great group of educators at Martin. And one thing that the elective teachers couldn't do this year was have the students go to their room. So the elective teachers were attached to teams for the first time in probably ever at Martin. And that allowed for greater collaboration within the building as well, because those elective teachers who aren't necessarily, you know, core content teachers now were able to work with those teams in best helping out students. And East Providence is great in terms of providing professional development opportunities for teachers to share new and different ideas. And like what Joe said, Curriculum Associates has been phenomenal in terms of allowing us to connect with other extraordinary educators. And, you know, Rhode Island's a teeny tiny state, so it's nice to be able to have someone else who's an extraordinary educator in Rhode Island, too, to collaborate and talk to with. I'm crossing my fingers, and I hope that what we build upon this year continues into next year as we move into some sort of normalcy.
And if I heard you correctly, this was the first year you guys have worked together as a team, okay, you and some of the other educators at Martin. Am I correct? Did I hear that correctly?
So we have the core content teachers with, you know, social studies, English, science, and math, and special educator. But in terms of, like, electives like gym, computer, art, library, the kids were in pods all day. So because they couldn't move throughout the building, those elective teachers pushed into those pods and worked with the core content teachers. It was cool. It was really cool. And I got to know some of my colleagues that I never talked to a little better. Yeah, it was really cool this year.
And also
I don't
see what they do.
That's never happened.
Of course. But, you know, I was a history teacher in middle school, okay, for many years. And you don't actually know when I was there what the vocational arts teachers were doing, what the – you know.
Yeah.
But so let me ask that. Knowing that, okay, I hope this grows out of the pandemic, okay, and what we've done as a result of that. Do you see a lot more interdisciplinary work happening, which I think is extremely important? I'm just curious, Paul, in middle school.
100.
I hope so.
I totally, totally agree. Like, the gym teachers are learning from us because, I mean, their kids are home half the week. So now how do the gym teachers hold gym classes online, you know?
Yeah.
The gym teachers are learning new tools, you know. The gym teachers are learning new tools from us in terms of how to engage their students for gym class.
Yeah.
And I'm learning some new things from the art teacher. I learned something new from the art teacher yesterday who, you know, is trying to figure out new online tools to do artwork with the kids, which is really cool. Like, she showed me this picture and I was like, oh my God, how'd you do that? Like, do some sort of crazy, like, Adobe something, whatever. And she was like, no, just Google Drawing. So
there you have an English teacher explaining the world of computers. It's Adobe something or other. There you have it.
So that's cool. And then I'm looking forward to next year working with the social studies teacher a little closer in terms of, you know, like we were talking about earlier, bridging the gap in terms of what students need to
accomplish for the fall, especially in terms of writing and reading. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
You should be. Thank you for the great answer, by the way. Joe, I'm going to say one word, parents. How were they involved this past year, and what do you see for next year?
Well, you know what? You know, it's been mostly positive, I will say. The parents have been extremely involved, you know, speaking from them, probably more so than they would like to be involved, you know, especially last spring when school was shut down, they kind of took over a major role. That's when I think the appreciation really started. But, you know, the parents have been great. You know, they understand the situation. They have realized that we're doing the best that we can for the kids, and they've been great. You know, of course we've had a couple parents, you know, have some things that they think could be better, but as a whole, the parents have been very supportive, very gracious, and, you know, more involved, quite honestly, over the last 18 months than I've ever had before, and I welcome that, you know, because it really is a team effort, you know, between what happens at school and what happens at home. If we can't work together, then the students will really suffer. So I've been thankful that they've been as involved as they have been.
Excellent answer. And Paul, your thoughts, parents?
Oh, everything that Joe said was on point. The parents have been understanding. The parents have reached out if there's any issues. And, you know, again, like what he said, of course, there's going to be a couple of parents who think that things could be better, that we can change things or have suggestions that we can support their students a little more. But, you know, what really gets to me are the emails from parents thanking us, and even like the comments on Facebook from the Martin Middle School Facebook page with parents sending out messages like, thank you, this is awesome. That has been one of the highlights of my year, knowing that the parents are behind us and appreciative of what we're doing.
Well, and you know, it's that word I was just going to say, you did it again, appreciative. Okay?
Yeah.
Suddenly people realize how hard the job is to educate kids. Okay?
Yeah.
And you guys are both extraordinary at it. I'm going to forgive Joe that he's an Islanders fan and say, great show, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I let me just say, I know Paul, he lives in East Providence, which is close to Pawtucket. Okay?
Yeah.
And the Paw Sox have left to go to Worcester, as you know.
Yeah.
A very sad thing. Would you like to comment to say something bad about the Red Sox, or just going to let that go right now?
I'm like a hodgepodge. I'm a hodgepodge of sports fans. Like, I like my Red Sox. I like, believe it or not, I grew up a Giants fan, so I'm a New York Giants fan.
Yeah.
We're Pittsburgh Penguin fans. So we're kind of like I'm like a hodgepodge of sports fans. So
you are.
I'd like to see your Rorschach test.
I'm getting a little scared here. I'd like to see that Rorschach test.
It's fun to stir the pot at school too.
It is, and I do the same thing. By the way, I jump back and forth. Okay, all that sort of thing. It is pretty amazing. These days, I have the same loyalty to my team as the players do. I'm a free agent fan. What can I tell you?
Oh, I like that one. Yeah, I like that metaphor.
All right, go for it, guys. Hey, Joe Flick, Paul Tarasevich, you guys are terrific educators.
Awesome. Thank you.
I got to tell you, congratulations on a great year. We're working through this disaster and doing such a wonderful job. So I'm going to say thank you from me, thank you from your students, thank you from Curriculum Associates, and enjoy the summer, guys. What can I tell you?
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you, Larry.
Welcome.
It's been an honor to be on.
It's been a pleasure to have you. Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
Day.
Bye.
Bye. Good guys. Good teachers. Well, they're named Extraordinary Educators by Curriculum Associates. They said it better than I can. I know Curriculum Associates well, and that is one hell of a good company. Okay? CurriculumAssociates.com, but you know where they are. Okay? They are really good. They're really well-respected. These teachers are absolutely excellent. You know, these are – what can I say? You already know it. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Our magazine is over there, Equity and Access. You will love it if you go over there. It's really a great magazine, I got to tell you. Okay, everything we do over there is free, no tricks, etc. You want to write something for us, you let us know. Okay, that's what we're there for, to get your words out. All right, so my name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Hey, thanks for listening.